Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. I have never suffered a broken bone, although how I escaped in the rough and tumble of growing into adulthood, I still do not understand. There were 7 of us boys at the Claiborne household who grew into manhood. We wrestled, rode horses, played all kinds of games, hunted, fished, and engaged in other vigorous activities. But only one of us ever had a broken bone. When a person breaks a bone, if he is wise, he goes to a physician to have him to set the bone. In most cases, setting the bone is not a major operation. But it is very important to the welfare of the individual who breaks a bone. When a church has division, the New Testament uses language similar to what I have just described. That is, when the fellowship has been broken, it must be repaired. Paul pled with the church at Corinth. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1:10. In our brief study today, I want to examine the topic, perfectly joined together. That expression, perfectly joined together, comes from the Greek katartizo and means to make complete or to make perfect. The word is used in the New Testament of the mending of nets, Matthew 4:21, and of restoring a fallen brother to the fellowship of the church, Galatians 6:1. The word is translated framed in the following verse from Hebrews. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. Hebrews 11:3. Incidentally, the word perfect is the most common translation of the Greek. But the word perfect in those contexts just means complete, not flawless. Paul was pleading with the Corinthian Christians to remove whatever impediment to unity that existed in the church, and to restore the fellowship they should have enjoyed in Christ. He urged them to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Outward, visible unity certainly has many advantages, but Paul wanted his brothers and sisters to have the same mind and the same judgment. Is it possible to have that kind of unity? My friends, if such unity were not possible, do you honestly believe the Holy Spirit would have given those instructions? Does God ever require the impossible of His people? Christian unity demands that we speak the same thing. How can we have unity if we are teaching different and even contradictory doctrines? But teaching the same things will not produce and maintain unity unless we also have an attitude of wanting to work together in the greatest cause in the world. There are members of the church who teach the same truths about Christ, about the gospel, and about other vital topics, but who are not united because someone wants to be in control and will use whatever means available to gain that control. In other words, there are, in most churches, men like Diotrephes who love to have the preeminence among men. 3 John 9. They will either rule the roost or run off all the chickens. In many, if not most cases, the division arises because of selfishness or a desire for someone to have his own way. Very seldom is the cause of division some major doctrinal conflict. It is most often personal. Churches need to be alert to men who try to lord it over the flock. We must work at keeping peace and unity in the church of the living God. If we fail to do that, not only will the church not grow, but we bring shame and dishonor on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I plead with you today to work for peace and unity.